I want to welcome everyone back to the assembly this afternoon. For a short time this afternoon, we're going to be talking about a subject. Of course, I had an open topic. But it's going to be more of a refresher. I guess you could basically sum this up as a character study of what it is to be a soldier of Christ. For our text, we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verses 3 and 4. Here the Bible tells us, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So as an introduction to this lesson, the character study is concerning us as being a soldier in the Lord's army. Our service to Jesus is often compared to different occupations, different examples that other people may have. One thing that we know when we read and study the Bible, it seems to be something that we can better understand when we try and compare it to things that we are familiar with in this life that we have, that we live today. Our service to Jesus, as I said, is often compared to different occupations. One example is that of an athlete. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Another example that we have is the example of laborers in a harvest. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says, "Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." From our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, our service is compared to soldiers in the Lord's army. The text says that we are to be good soldiers, seeking to please him who has enlisted us as a soldier. Knowing the characteristics of a soldier of Christ will help us understand the service that Jesus requires of us. For this evening, we're going to focus on four characteristics concerning us as soldiers of Christ. Those characteristics are going to be the nature of our enlistment, the nature of our service, the nature of our warfare, and the nature of our weapons or the arsenal that we have been equipped and given to fight the battles that may come up. So we're going to talk about this briefly. This is I believe this is a lesson that we've all possibly heard before, but as in with many things, it's never bad to have a refresher course or never a bad thing to be reminded of these things. But before we go further, we do have the opportunity and the privilege to go to God in prayer, and we will ask that the one selected would lead us at this time. So first we must consider the nature of our enlistment. From our text in verse 4, the word enlisted is rendered or is also to be chosen in the King James Version. The Greek word means to gather or select as a warrior. Strong says to gather or select as a warrior, that is, enlist in the army or choose to be a soldier. The idea is we were chosen or enlisted as we responded in faith to the call of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The army of Christ is an all-voluntary army. We were not drafted against our will or our attitude, and our attitude should reflect our willingness to do our part. Also to consider is the nature of our service. It is an act of service. We are in full duty, like those in active military service today. And as indicated from our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, it says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." If you are enlisted in today's army, your focus is one thing, and that is to follow the instructions of your commanding officer. To do this, there is no time to be entangled in the affairs of everyday life. You must be willing to endure hardships. When you enlist in today's army, it means time away from family and friends, the possibility of being sent into battle in a foreign country, and possibly even facing death. But as a soldier of Christ, our focus is our commander, the Lord Himself. We are also limited to the time that we have to be involved in the affairs of everyday life as well. We must also endure hardships. This affects our relationships with our physical families and with our friends and loved ones. Because after obeying the gospel or enlisting as a soldier of Christ, there are things that we used to do with our friends, with our families, that we may no longer be able to do. There are places we may have gone that we can no longer go. For example, no more early Sunday morning hunting trips or fishing trips or playing golf on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or even Wednesdays for those congregations that have Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever service. For some, the hardships were overcoming bad habits, the use of tobacco, strong drinks, or maybe overcoming questionable language that maybe we once spoke. Now, this doesn't mean that we no longer associate with family or with friends, but it just means that there were things that we used to may have done that we can no longer do. Christ comes first, even as he put his Father first. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, it says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew chapter 12, verses 47, verse 50, it says, "And one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now this idea, this concept, this thought also affects our attitudes toward our daily jobs as well. Our purpose for working changes. I mean, if anybody asks you why you go to work every day or why you do what you normally do every day, most people will say, "Well, I've got bills to pay. You know, I've got to make money or I'm not going to be able to sustain myself." And for most people, that's pretty much all it is. That is the only motivation they have. That's the only motivation, in their life that they need. But we no longer work for just money. We no longer work for, some people work for power, for fortune, for fame, or other possessions that this life may hold. The true purpose for work is the following according to the scriptures. In Acts chapter 20, verse 34 through 35, it says, "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' Do you Ephesians chapter 4, 28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now I can say that sometimes when you're in a career, or when you're working, or even a student in school, sometimes the motivation can be cloudy. Sometimes we can get frustrated with our daily activities, the things on our obligations, the deadlines, and so forth. And sometimes we can lose sight as to why we're doing this. And sometimes we begin backbiting and complaining and wondering why we even have this obligation to begin with. But we are to work as if we were working for God. We are to conduct ourselves as God is our boss and our direct supervisor. We are supposed to do this, and we are supposed to have, by doing this, lead by example. And we are known to be a peculiar people. And one of the things that's going to make us peculiar in days like this is being overly upbeat and not worrying about certain things that many people in this world worry about, and they will take notice. And one thing, as we do this, we need to focus on the fact that we cannot serve both God and mammon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, not one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Third characteristic that we want to talk about is the nature and the fact that this is not a reserved duty. Some who have enlisted as soldiers of Christ believe that they may be in the reserves. So many people in the world think that once they've obeyed the gospel and they've been baptized, that's it. They've made it. That they're in. They've made it into the club, if you will. Well, it's the opposite, actually. You have now been enlisted. Some people believe where they serve only limited occasions, where one might not take their responsibility seriously, where they may be in the reserves, where they have to attend a little bit of training, maybe a little bit of, exercise, maybe a little bit of training with the weapons that they are supposed to use in warfare once a month or something like this, and then they can go back to their regular lives. But the Bible teaches us that all soldiers in the army of Christ are on active duty. Though some might be on the front lines and others support them at the base, though some may be in the infantry or the cavalry or whatever the case may be, we are all active duty and we all are able to do our part. Another thing to consider is the nature of our warfare in which we are engaged. Who is our enemy? First of all, there are spiritual forces of wickedness. Ephesians chapter 6, 10, verse 13, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Next, there is a physical lust which wages war against the soul. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11 says, beloved, I beg you all, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which are war against the soul. And third, there is unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, of those who do not recognize God, and of those who are given over to the vile passions. In Romans chapter 1, reading verses 18 through 23, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power of Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, and their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. As a soldier of Christ, we have to consider what our objective is. First of all, is to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5:16, says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Also, moving on in verse 22 through 26, he explains that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Our next objective is to bring every thought into submission to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 5, it says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And third, we are to help those ensnared of the devil to escape. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 through 26. "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." The opposition is mighty. The objective is noble. But how do we accomplish this? What weapons do we go to battle with? And lastly, we want to consider the nature of our weapons. Our weapons are not carnal. The Bible tells us our warfare is not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." As a soldier of Christ, our attitude should be consistent with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Also, should be somewhat compared to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, where he says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." The attitude of the fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, is the attitude needed that when we seek to help those overtaken in a fault. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." The same attitude is necessary to correct those who oppose us that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." And along with the proper attitude that we are to have, our weapons are the armor of God. In Hebrews chapter Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In closing this afternoon, in the armies of this world, soldiers seek to destroy their enemy. In the army of the Lord, we seek to save ourselves and those whom we fight. It's a noble objective, one that requires noble service as a soldier of Jesus Christ. To serve, we must be willing to endure the hardships to please the one who enlisted us.